Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, are you ready for a bombogenesis? A.K.A. a bomb cyclone. It arrives later today in the Pacific Northwest. And I won't bother to explain the science behind the bomb cyclone, which involves atmospheric rivers, low pressure, and basically Mother Nature being a bitch. But what we'll notice is the high winds, choppy water, a whole lot of rain, and in higher elevations, a lot of snow. But we're the lucky ones, you see, because meteorologists, they believe that the San Francisco area is going to get the worst of it. They're looking at a month's worth of rain in 48 hours, hurricane-force winds, and all types of destruction and inconvenience that goes along with it, right? So meanwhile, folks in Alabama and Georgia, now they're preparing for a rare November tropical storm. And by preparing, we mean they're celebrating, because apparently they've been suffering through a drought, and it will come to an end with the 2 to 4 inches of expected rain. They're saying this will be a good thing, but keep in mind, the same tropical storm, Sarah, it just dumped 40 inches of rain in Honduras. They don't feel the same way as they do in Alabama and Georgia. But speaking of rain, 44 of the 50 United States are either in a drought or at least, quote, abnormally dry. In fact, places like Massachusetts, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, and Vermont, they're dealing with wildfires. Now, we're used to that sort of thing here in Washington, not so much in the Northeast. The Northeast, they're more used to snow. That's not the case in England, however, where they're expecting about 4 inches of snow. That might not sound like much, but these types of weather events, well, they prove to be incredibly inconvenient and annoying, whether it's delayed flights, blackouts, flooded home, trees falling, school closures, and you got to scramble to figure out what to do. You name it, weather-related disruptions just suck, and everyone agrees on that. And that's at the root of today's question. Maybe it was hot, maybe it was cold, snow, rain. We don't know, but we want to know, how did weather do you dirty?
To be a part of the Big Show, call 206-803-ROCK. You can like the Men's Room on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live, and send those emails to themensroom at KISW.com.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Oh, but y'all, away we go. Welcome to season 19, episode number 4,222. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat as the one and only Taryn Daly and Steve Mix from the Daily Mix Morning Show will join us once again. We will sit and spin.
Yeah.
And today, if you are old enough to remember the year 1985,
mm-hmm.
a lot of weird stuff going on in the entertainment world as far as lyrics, trials before Congress with the Parent Music Resource Center.
Yes.
What they determined was that music was the root of all evil
mm-hmm.
and was impacting the youth of America.
Yeah, all the horrible things we were doing. Yeah.
So whether it was the cover, whether it was the title, what the song lyrics represented, they decided to form a four-woman panel
mm-hmm.
who basically, all of their husbands were somebody. Tipper Gore was, obviously married to Al Gore at the time.
Yep.
These four ladies got together and said, look, we need, much like the movies, we just need some type of rating system on some of this content that's coming out in the musical world.
Yeah, and you're right. They related it to movies. Said, look, it's no worse than that. We're not trying to censor anything. Originally, they wanted to censor stuff. That got a lot of pushback. And then finally, they came up with the PMRC, Parents Music Resource Center, to say, just like you said, the movies. Okay, we won't censor it, but you need to put stickers on the album that have, quote, explicit lyrics, which of course meant every kid who had no interest in a band saw that sticker and immediately bought the records.
Yeah, in the early days of HBO, they would put up the rating for the movie. So if it's rated R, it would say Y. Extreme violence sometimes, depending on, was it an army movie, that kind of thing, military thing. But if it said nudity, I mean, just like that sticker on the front of that album.
I'm watching a movie.
Because there was 12. BN, brief nudity, and then just the N.
Yes.
The good one was strong sexual content.
Had an N. Because if it didn't have the N with strong sexual content, you and I could be talking about what we'd like to do to this young lady, right?
Yeah.
But you didn't see anything.
I'm just saying, as a teenage boy, I don't care what that movie was. If I saw those, I was like, watching it.
As a grown-ass man, and I'm not quite sure what movie I want to watch, if I see strong sexual content and nudity, I'm giving it a shot.
Hey, look, I do like movies that'll freak you out, but I'm not into the horror movie culture as much.
Yeah.
The Exorcist, I think, is truly a great movie, and it will scare the living hell out of you. But at the time, I was not really that into Halloween or any of those movies, because they did not really scare me. They were...
But they had boobs.
But that was
wall
it.
To
so
wall
I watched all of those movies for one thing and for one thing only.
Boobs.
And that was to see if there was any nudity involved.
And there always was.
Yeah.
First time I saw Friday the 13th, it was on cable at a buddy's house, sleepover. His mom had already gone to bed. We planned on watching it because it was supposed to be scary. We did not know that there were boobs. But after that movie, man, we were like, I want to see it again.
So the first thing the PMRC did was they came out with a list that they named the Filthy 15. And at the time, it was 15 songs that were representative of things that should be not censored, but you should be alerted to the content of this music based on whether it was sex, violence, drug and alcohol use.
But mostly sex.
The occult, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But sex and masturbation was a big one. So what we've got for you today is 10 of those filthy 15 songs. We're going to see if we can figure out just based on, because it could have been, it also could be the cover of the album.
Iron Maiden got pegged on that. Nothing about any of the songs. It was just, they did not like Eddie, right? Their mascot and the things he's doing on the cover. So they're like, they must be devil worshippers. Like, actually, they're kind of like J.R.R. Tolkien nerds, but whatever.
Right. The number of the beast. They see something like that.
Yeah, they freaked out.
666 on there. So they put a sticker on this thing. So we've got 10 of those 15 tunes coming up, and we'll try to figure out why we believe that these artists had that that label, which basically did nothing but sell more records for them than anything else possibly could have at the time.
Somebody here actually texted in, Two Live Crew got blasted. Two Live Crew enjoyed success specifically because of the PMRC.
They did.
And no one would have bought that ratty-ass album.
And it wasn't necessarily what they were singing about.
I don't think most people know the first album. They just know Band in the USA.
Yeah. Because the PMRC, basically they said, look, you sold 150,000 copies of your album.
And we're going to put this sticker on there. Now you're going to sell 10 million copies of the same album.
It was four women who were bent over in bed, and their asses are hanging up in the air. So I don't know if there was anything in that album that was lyrically something that they were bothered about more so than the cover of the album.
I don't think they got past the cover of the album. And when you see the cover of the album, you can already figure out what they're going to be singing
about.
That's
exactly right. Also, a good chance that we'll talk to Duff McKagan today. We believe he might get a chance to call us in. He is wrapping up his Lighthouse tour. I want to say he is in Portland tonight.
I believe it's Portland tonight, and then here in Seattle tomorrow.
Yeah, the Showbox Soto. So we might also get a call from Duff McKagan, who is actually Susan Holmes McKagan's husband.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also in a band called Guns N' Roses. Speaking of, one of those album covers back in the day.
Oh, yeah, that got banned.
Where they had to change the album cover based on the art. I'm not saying that there weren't some songs in there that were strong, lyrically, sexual, drug use, and all the others.
They didn't care. They didn't get that far. They saw the cover, and they lost their freaking minds.
It was more about the cover. And if you do have that original cover.
I do.
And a copy of that album, it is worth a lot more money than the one that I have at home.
I will say there are two albums in my vinyl collection where I bought the original cover. One was Sticky Fingers from the Rolling Stones. And I don't listen to that one, but I have the original. And then I have the knockoff version, which I'll listen to. Same thing with Appetite for Destruction. I have the original cover art, because whatever you think of it, I think it's a really cool piece of artwork.
Yeah.
So I definitively have that, but I don't listen to that one. See, I listen to the one with the cross and the skulls. But I'm like, don't even touch the one with the original cover.
But Duff is, he's been touring for, on and off now for probably over a year on this tour.
Yeah.
And a lot of special guests stop by on the, Iggy Pop. You know, he plays on one of the tunes.
Right.
Slash is obviously represented. There's a number of guys that came in and made that album possible with Duff. So I want to say the tour maybe wraps up tomorrow night.
I believe it is.
It does. Show. Typically, when you live in Seattle.
What's that, Showbox Soda?
You know, you'll notice that a lot of these bands, you know, whatever Pearl Jam does, they can go out 2 or 3 years. And when they're done, they're ending the show here in Seattle. So they can just drive home and see their families. So I think Duff is probably doing the same thing.
Yeah, it's like going out for a day. You might go to a few bars, this or that, but probably the last bar you hit is going to be closer to
home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You'll notice
same with tours.
On the Pearl Jam shows, the wine's flowing. On that last night, they are happy to be done and happy to be back at home. So we'll talk to Duff McKagan coming up. Speaking of Showbox Soto, just so you know, there are still tickets available for live night. The tickets start at just $35 as we take over Showbox Soto for a little live radio. A high wire act, so to speak. Everything is live, and you are part of the show as the live studio audience is involved in Big Dummy, and I believe Beat Migs, when the Daily Migs Morning Show does their thing first, then we'll come on afterward. So we'll play some Big Dummy, maybe Ted versus the FCC. We definitely have the barbershop people. All of the commercials, the music, live bands, everything is live that night, and will be broadcast here. But join us and be a part of the studio audience, man. You can get in again for just $35. It's going to be a great night on Friday, December 13th at Showbox Soto. That will get here before we know it. After the Thanksgiving break, that'll be on.
No time. Really will.
Get those tickets as soon as you can. All right, speaking of Thanksgiving and the season that we are in, we have an interesting thing apparently coming into town right now. It is known as a bomb cyclone.
It is a bombogenesis, Miles. That is the actual name, bombogenesis.
A bombogenesis.
It sounds like a bad Caribbean cover band of Genesis.
It's expected to rapidly intensify.
We are bombogenesis.
Yes. That's all.
I mean, that's the actual worst what it sounds like to me.
Bombogenesis. You feel it in the air tonight.
Yeah.
I guess that's just Phil Collins.
Oh, my God.
But we're going to cover because that's still your favorite song anyway.
Man, they had a song back in the day. You want to talk about one where you go like now, like... Ooh, that's a little cringeworthy. They had a song called Illegal Alien.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you remember that, Tevin.
It's no fun being an illegal alien.
And they rattle off all the reasons why it's not.
Oh, yeah, that whole video, the whole night.
Exactly.
I mean, they weren't wrong.
Oh, no, yes, exactly.
They were just ahead of their time.
We can, but for the next song, I can't dance.
I read.
You know we can.
You know we can.
Right.
So here's what you get. You get a bombogenesis, and then you get a bomb cyclone, and that could intensify so quickly it could become a triple bomb.
Really?
A triple bomb. Triple
that sounds like a sandwich or a shooter.
It does. Sounds like something Guy Fieri's got with, like, donkey sauce.
Right.
Yeah.
Try the triple bomb with mop donkey sauce.
Dude, you know what? This Sunday, let's go try the triple bomb.
Oh, my tummy hurts.
National Weather Service in San Francisco, so they're going to get knocked pretty good.
I don't realize how bad it's supposed to be. Like, we kept hearing about Washington, and I'm like, ah, man, this sucks. Not the end of the world. And then when I read what San Francisco is looking at, part of the same system, mm-hmm. I'm like, ooh, 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 ooh.
And they say that this is about a once-in-a-decade type storm.
They say that about everything.
But, you know, like in our time here, we've had some ice storms.
That's some ice storm. Then we have a bomb cyclone 2 or 3 years ago or something like that.
Yeah, we've had one here before.
We've had a couple.
And like I always say, like this is prime time of year. Like, you get some good spring storms, but November, December, generally, to me, is when, like, trees fall over.
Yeah.
People lose power.
I do remember, like, at one point.
Someone already texted in from Arlington. They have lost power because of the wind already.
Jeez, a whiz. Okay, well, Bonnie Lake had a tornado with a big storm that came in.
Damn.
Probably 10 or so years ago. Let's see. They say very mountainous seas as far as off the coast of Medford in southern Oregon. They're talking about waves 30 to 35 feet,
damn,
according to the National Weather Service. So this bad boy is basically stretching all the way from San Francisco up through Vancouver Island,
yeah,
and into the British Columbia area, farther north than Whistler. This thing just kind of takes, it's a big-ass storm. They say heavy rainfall, significant mountain snowfall, the Pacific Northwest here. The pair will stall along the coast, they say, the two areas, and hammer the area with hazardous conditions throughout the week and into the weekend. Parts of Northern California could record 16 inches of rain or more in 48 hours. Conditions, they say, are going to intensify this afternoon. A level 2 of 4 threat of flooding rainfall is expected to affect parts of northwestern California, southwestern Oregon. 2 to 5 inches could fall down there. The heaviest rainfall is expected again Wednesday and peak on Thursday. So this thing's going to be around for a while.
Cool, 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 cool.
They said it's hard to overestimate how big of a deal these high risks are. They are issued on fewer than 4% days per year on average. 3 to 6 inches of rain could fall Wednesday in certain areas. Heavy snowfall is expected across higher elevations. Blizzard warnings are in effect in the Cascades, where snowfall over a foot and gusts of up to 60 miles an hour are possible this afternoon and tomorrow morning. As they say, travel could be very difficult at times. So either way, they're saying as far as I-5, highways 31, 36, 66, 89, 97, 140, all those will be impacted. And winds of 35 to 50 are possible inland, with tropical storm force gusts up to 70 miles an hour. Some headlands could hit 85 miles an hour or hurricane force. So this is kind of a serious deal. You know, we always think about the Gulf of Mexico being the Caribbean, being the producer of some of these bigger storms. And I don't know, for whatever reason, the Pacific Ocean, unless, you know, parts of Asia get hit, you don't really think about the size of these storms, and we don't get them very often. But
it's just the difference in landscape, too. You know, one thing about the Gulf of Mexico and all the places that deal with hurricanes, they're pretty flat or they're underwater, right? They don't have the same kind of terrain. They certainly do not have the number of trees. We got more freaking trees in the state than Oregon. Think of outside of Alaska, right? So just when these things come down and hit power lines, like, it just becomes such a boondoggle. Whether the road gets washed out or the trees blow, I know boondoggle, big words, brother. Yeah. Got that from my friends in Bombo Genesis. So, like, I mean, even at my place, the only thing I worry about are the trees falling over. We've had the big tree come.
Right,
we've been through that. Most of the other trees, and they're all huge, but and trust me, after the last tree fell, what, a year and a half ago, I started doing a survey of, like, all right, if that big boy falls, that big boy falls. For the most part, I think we're safe. Like, I don't think my house will be hit.
No, but you're in a heavily wooded area.
The power's gone, the fence is gone again. And it's just such a nuisance. So even if the weather itself doesn't cause you, like, an immediate problem, just the aftermath of it. Like, if they close down schools, right? Look, if both parents work, your kids go to school, that's the convenience of it. And now, you know, you find out 4:30 in the morning, like, yeah, your kids got to stay home.
The Woodway area of Edmonds, I mean, they got some of the biggest trees in the world. And all those neighborhoods are just tucked under those huge-ass trees. They're saying winds 40 to 50 in Federal Way or all the way to Edmonds. And then they say, okay, so air rushing over the passes will zigzag through the gaps in the terrain, picking up speed through the tight spaces a la the Bernoulli effect.
Bernoulli.
The Bernoulli effect.
Yeah.
As that air reaches the bottom of the hills. And as
basically, it's like going down a water slide, right?
Freedom to spread out. So, gusts could be projected between 40 and 65 in North Bend, Maple Valley, Enumclaw, and the Sultan areas.
Right.
So, that's what we're in for tonight. So, it's going to be blowing. Our question, how did the weather do you dirty? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Craig. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
So, Craig, how did the weather do you dirty?
Well, back in 2012 when I was in AIT, I had just gotten out of basic probably about 3 months prior to this. I'm in the middle of the smoking section with a few other guys, just kind of shooting the crap and doing our thing. And this thunderstorm rolls through, and it's raining pretty good and hard. Well, out of nowhere, we all just drop. Apparently, we'd been struck indirectly, all like 10 or 15 of us, struck indirectly by lightning.
Did anyone get knocked out?
Oh, yeah, no. I was out for a good 30 seconds. We all just hit the ground.
Yeah. That was a terrible soccer video. Jeez, a couple weeks ago, and a player passed on, I believe, with the direct strike.
Was it like a high school game or something?
It was just like everybody just fell, and I realized I had been a part of that at one point in time, just like you. I mean, but I did. The only difference between you said you're out for 30 seconds, I'm not sure how long I was out. So that was, to me, it felt like I slept an entire night.
Right.
I mean, I woke up from a dead sleep. I was like, where am I? I was completely discombobulated. I sat up. I saw my two buddies. I realized there was a golf cart beside us. Then everything clicked in. Like, it was a dream. On a golf course. And I'm like, oh, no, I was playing golf. I'm out here. And then I could see the golf carts coming down the hill to see if we were okay. And I sat up. And it was just, I can't explain. It was the strangest time jump. Or whatever you would call it.
Right, right.
That I've ever been through in my life as far as just not...
Did you hear the thunder?
Didn't hear anything.
I was going to say, right, that lightning hits. I mean, it's. I don't think anything. People fathom how dangerous it is and how often people get struck like you did.
Now, Craig, did you get any... did you see medical practitioner after this, or you guys just kind of waited out?
We all kind of went down to the clinic as a group, but no superpowers or anything were discovered, so...
Did you have a really bad ringing in your ears?
Oh, yeah. No, my ears were ringing, my toes and my fingers kind of felt like they'd gotten first-degree burns.
I didn't have that. I didn't have that, but I felt like I went and saw AC/DC and sat in the front row.
Right.
That's kind of how my... Like, it... The only way I can describe it is when you're coming down and descending in an aircraft and the pressurization isn't working very well for you, and you just feel like congested in your ears to the point you can't hear. It was kind of like that thing where I almost could pop my ears out because they were so tight. Yeah. I don't know if that
plus
was...
Plus, the lightning hits, but like you guys didn't realize as it knocked you out, but also your eardrums went through literally an explosion.
Yes.
you didn't hear.
But I'm telling you, man, Ted, the craziest thing was when I looked at Rob, because Rob was face down. And this was back in the day when you golf, you wore metal spikes.
Yeah.
And I could see them smoking...
Ugh.
And melting the rubber on the bottom of his golf shoes. So those metal spikes, that's why. Damn. I think that, I wasn't rich enough to have metal spikes, Rob was. But he took the brunt of it because I think.
Because of the metal spikes.
The metal on the bottom of his feet. Our question, how did the weather do you dirty? 206-8.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
803 Rock.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Well, once again, KISW, along with the Washington State Council firefighters, doing some good. This winter season, Operation Warm is underway, and Coats for Kids, as we try to put a brand new coat on 2,500 kids in the Pacific Northwest who are in need this holiday season. Only $20 puts a brand new coat on a child in need, as over 300,000 kids here in Washington, they live in poverty. So we're going to try to get as many coats as possible. Again, $20 puts an American-made coat on a kid this holiday season who needs one.
So, yeah.
KISW.com. If you can give $10, $5, $20, please go there and do that. Okay, our question, how did the weather do you dirty? 206-803-ROCK.
The texter from earlier in Arlington, his power went out from the wind. They checked back in. They say, look, man, the best part of our outage happening early, that the first crews are already coming to fix our outage. But we're so far into the woods, I expect the power to go out again, and because it's only going to get more windy.
Yeah.
I got to wonder, is that the deal, man? Just, you know, they're going to come out, they fix your power now, like, cool, but you have to know maybe, what, 3 hours from now?
Plus, it depends specifically, right? I know this from, you know, Taryn and Brad or my other friends live in Stanwood. Like, it depends on what your street's like, too. It's like their street's kind of back, so it takes forever to the power crews to get back there.
Right.
But most people I know that live in those areas also just have generators.
Correct.
I would think if I live in that area, I have multiple generators.
I mean, I do have a flashlight. I cannot remember the last time I turned it on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that I have D batteries in case they don't work. That's not something I normally buy. I don't really have anything that requires.
You got to have kids in the house. We have batteries like Costco has batteries just because of the kids.
Maybe two candles I've got.
I got one candle. I mean, I always have a candle on my living room table.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's got a few hours left in it. And then I have headlamps.
I mean, I do
have the headlamp. I got flashlights. And then we have some of the one you're supposed to, like, stick them under your cabinets and grab. We don't use them for, right, those little things. So, but they're strategically placed throughout the house, right? So a few in the living room, a few in the basement. So if the power goes out, whatever room you're in, you don't have to walk more than maybe 15 feet to grab a light source.
That's the real inconvenience, you know? How long is the power going to be out? Will my refrigerator make it? The more you open
it. Don't open it.
That's what I'm saying. All these things that I've got in there, are they safe? Don't really have a cooler. Guess I could take some ice. And
I feel like 12 to 24 hours, most of your stuff in the fridge should be okay. And the stuff that's going to go bad, you will know it bad. Like milk, you know, something like that.
Why do you have that disgusted look when I mention cooler?
Because I can see my cooler now sitting in my buddy's trunk.
Oh.
Like, as you said that, I'm like, oh. Yeah, like, my fridge is fine. Frankly, there ain't much in there right now.
Right.
But my freezer, I worry about.
Yeah, the freezer's stuff
just
there.
Just because there's bags of frozen vegetables, giant bag of ice.
I've got a couple of steaks in there from the Fred Meyer and a couple pieces of salmon. I don't want that to go bad, but I do have a gas stove. So
that comes in handy.
I can invite, you know, four friends over. I'll go knock on the door, be like, dude, I got to make this food.
Yeah,
come on over. I'll bring a candle.
I think the worst part about my power going out, as an adult, I honestly just don't care much. It is what it is. I know it will come back on eventually. With the kids in the house, man, when the power goes out and there's no internet or they can't watch TV, it every 1 minute to them feels like 7 days.
But you can also make a fire.
I can make a fire, and that's impressive to them for like 5 minutes. But I mean, it just listening to them.
I'm talking about keeping the house warm.
I understand that. That's not. We got blankets. We got jackets.
Yeah, we're talking
about
bored quick.
How does weather do you dirty? It's like the weather's the weather. I can't control it. But my kids, they can make it an absolute nightmare when, you know, 20 minutes in, man, with no power. It's agonizing.
Yeah.
To them, I could. And see, that's the thing about kids. All right, so. When they were like 6, 8 years old, somewhere around there, we would take Super Bowl Monday off because, like many red-blooded Americans of drinking age, you got a pretty
also. We get that off this year, right?
Yeah, we do. We do.
So it is President's Day weekend. So Monday will be that day.
But I would take it off, and the thing was, the beauty of it was, the kids weren't off. They got to go to school. So, and anyone who has kids about that age, you know, like, look, you love them to death, but when they're that age, You have a day off. They go to school. It's just a day you look forward to.
It gives you a break.
Right?
It gives you
a quick break. You're probably hungover. You're not probably hungover. Super hungover. And either 2 years in a row or 3 years in a row or 2 out of 3 years in a row. I do not remember which exactly. We took that Monday off. We knew we were going to have it off. And as soon as the Super Bowl ended, it would start snowing outside. And then that Monday, I'd wake up. Kids don't have to go to school, right? And at that time, my wife's going to work, so it's me and the kids. And even that would be okay. It's just that I truly hate the cold, and I truly hate the snow, but the kids are super excited because, let's face it, in Seattle, we don't get that much snow that often. But they want to be outside all day, but they want Dad to be outside with them all day. And can we make a snowman?
They haven't moved the Super Bowl yet.
They haven't moved it yet?
No.
Damn.
No, because it's on February 9th.
So maybe it's the following year.
It might, because they're trying to load it up, right? So it's right before President's Day. That was the idea. So the people
there
like us
is,
don't take it off.
But I feel like there's something else that weekend. Is it the 500?
Maybe.
There's something else major. I know the NFL was pushing or trying, but there's some reason they haven't done it.
But yeah, I would take the day off. And then the kids, there was a snow day. And it would just me off. I'm like, one, look, I'm hungover. I expected them fully to go to school, but now they don't have to go to school. But they didn't know that until they got up at the regular time. So now it is 7 a.m., which is not a time I'm trying to get up when I'm hungover. My wife has to go to work, so it's like, hey, you're on this. And it's, you got to be kidding me. Like, I'm fully prepared.
Not be on this.
To not do anything. But then, like I said, for me personally, you can't look at your 7-year-old daughter and says, Dad, do you want to make a snowman? Like, in my head, like, F no. But I can't say that. So I'm like, of course I want to make a snowman, baby. And I'm out there, gloveless, with all the wrong jackets, the wrong shoes.
Gloveless.
I could not tell you. Our gloves in our house are like socks when you pull them out of the dryer. So you start with two, and within 2 weeks, you have one. So it's not that I can't put on a full pair of gloves, but I promise you they don't match.
How did the weather do you dirty? 206-803 Rock.
That just sounds miserable trying to make a snowman with no gloves.
Dude, it was awful. Right. It's horrible. I mean, seriously, I did not enjoy it. I hated it. I hate being cold. I hate snow, but the kids were super happy. So there was that. But I'm like, man, you know, then the wife comes home. How was your day? I'm like, how do you think it was? I mean, you see the three snowmen out front. They didn't make themselves. And guess who didn't want to make them? Me. But guess who did? Hello, Cheyenne. Welcome to the men's room. Hello, Cheyenne. Call us back, Cheyenne.
No, Cheyenne.
Hello, Eddie. Welcome to the men's room.
How's it going, gentlemen?
Hola.
So, I called a while back about, I think it was random question day, and I ended up talking about sailboat racing. And that goes into my answer for today. So, a few years ago, we were racing around Whidbey Island. It was my first time ever racing around the island. And it was calling for high winds. Nothing extreme, though, until we got out there. And first thing we noticed was we had too big of a sail up. And so we had to do a sail change right after the start of the race. And we're bucking these waves, probably about 3 to 4 foot waves. And my boat's just pounding into everything. I have two guys on the bow of the boat, one guy literally holding the other one down to the deck. And then as the race, we got the sail changed, we continue on, and we go around Admiralty, which is over by Port Townsend. And at that point, it got to the worst of the storm. Now it's blowing over 40 with gusts over 50. And the waves are massive. At one point, I was standing up in my boat, and I'm looking back, and I'm looking at the top of the wave, and the bottom of the wave is still 15 feet in front of my boat, and I'm on a 24-foot sailboat.
It seems to me like they should have maybe called the race.
We were thinking about going inside of Whidbey Island and doing a different style of the race, but then everyone's like, no, we're going to go outside. We're going to go around it.
How long does this race last as far as the weather also being that bad?
That particular race took us 19 hours to get around the island. We finished at 3:15 in the morning.
God.
And are there points where you think, hey, man, this boat's going to capsize or we're going to die or any of that?
At that point in the race, I was not racing anymore. I was literally just trying to survive.
Yeah. Okay.
I was going to say, yeah, that can't be up. That can't be fun.
No.
And I ended up having one of my crew members fall and hit his head, and I was actually thinking about taking him to the hospital, but he said that he was fine.
Of course he said he's fine. I mean, he hit his head.
He's concussed.
That's the thing.
It's like Tua just wants to go back in the game, you know?
When they hurt their leg, they'll be honest with you. When you hit your head, just assume they're not okay.
Yeah.
So, all right, Eddie, based on what you're saying there, because I'm listening to you, and look, I'm not a big fan of open water, right? So I'm imagining I can be on a 24-foot boat in super choppy water, okay, or I am on a plane going through horrible turbulence. As far as which situation I would rather be in, and I really don't have an answer.
Turbulence, because you stay dry.
You do, but my thought is...
You're inside.
I know, but here's the difference. You think, all right, there's bad turbulence, but if the plane goes down, I'm going to die. At least that's my belief. I'm going to survive a plane crash. I'm going to die. The boat, I might die, and I really don't want to be here, but there's a possibility I can survive this, right? Whether lifeboat, life vest.
Look, I don't want to be thrown overboard in any situation, but if you're thrown overboard here, you do your time is limited as far as just
sure.
Hypothermia kicks in and everything. I don't also want to be in the Caribbean and be swept out in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico or whatever the deal is. That's not fun either, but at least the water's warm.
Here's my issue, right? Is that I feel like
I die from hypothermia right away anyway.
And the risk, like...
Just the risk, planes, not the end result, but you go, we might crash or I might go overboard. Like, which is more unsettling to you?
Ah, going overboard.
Really?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Even yes, just being yes. in a storm on a boat, I just feel like boats sink a lot more often than planes
You
crash.
Understand. It's very difficult.
Plus, I feel like it lasts longer on a boat. Like, the boat capsizes or you drown or you get stuck in the cabin. Like, that's super, like, at least with the plane, I'm like, look, if this bitch hits, like... I'll be done screaming when the plane hits. If I go overboard on the boat, I probably have another 15 minutes of sheer panic.
Try just swimming in your clothes, in street clothes, let alone putting on rubber galoshes, boots that go up to your calf. You've got big Columbia, you know, the Morton Fisherman yellow crap. I mean, that stuff is heavy, it's big, it's waterproof.
But am I still alive at this point?
You're in the water. Right. So, I mean, more so than just the ability to swim, it's kind of, you know, just restrictive as far as the clothing that you have on. As far as being able to tread water, to be able to just do a normal...
I mean, people drown in rivers sometimes because they get in too deep and it fills up their waders.
No, yeah. You're absolutely correct. I just know for a fact...
Is a trout.
I can tread water, I can't fly. So just give me the options like, hey man, if it's life or death, I'd rather go overboard. I will probably die. But on the plane, I am confident that I absolutely will die. Like, you can say, man, it's hard to tread water... And your clothes. Like, all right, we'll try to fly naked. I mean, like, no matter what, I know that's not going to
I'd almost rather be sucked out of the plane and get, like, one last flight in before I die. You know, like, just like, all right.
Well, I know Miles is like me. Like, he's watched that show, Air Disasters.
Oh, yeah.
None of them are really that recent, which makes you feel better.
It does make you feel better.
But, like, boats sink. Like, water, I don't know. To me, the ocean is, like, far scarier.
Worse.
Well, I agree with that.
You're not.
Scary,
let's say you survive.
Okay, all right.
Hey, let's say you survive, like Miles saying. You're out in the Gulf of Mexico. You might just get bitten in a half.
Yes, exactly.
Well, then I didn't survive.
So, the airplane explodes, you're good. I mean, it's over.
Maybe.
I mean, now, you know, your food.
Well, what if it hits, the plane's on fire, you can't get out? I'm just saying, man. I don't know. I feel like a plane is... It's just guaranteed. Well,
it's weird, dudes. I love swimming. Like, I go in any bottle of water.
Me too.
I don't care. But the idea of being stuck in a storm on a sailboat terrifies me.
Yeah.
How did the weather do you dirty? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Cheyenne. Welcome back.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
So, you guys might remember a few years back, there was a show with that band Bruiser Brody. I think Windowpane was on the bill, too.
Yeah.
At the Croc. And I was supposed to be there for that, and I was flying in from South Dakota. Long story short, there was a massive random fog that rolled in and kept me from making it there. So,
oh, thank God, because I was there.
Oops. Yeah, Miles, thank you.
Yeah.
No, hopefully things will be different for live night this year, so we'll see. But
Let me ask you this just real quick about Sunday. If I remember correctly, you bet, $100 on the Jacksonville Jaguars to outright beat the Detroit Lions. And Ted and I tried to explain, like, man, I don't know what's in your water supply, or maybe you dinged your head, but it seemed like a bad idea to us.
Yeah, I had my reason. It's a very specific set of circumstances. Okay. It was still a bad bet, and I got to take the L. You know
okay.
What I mean?
Yeah. He explained to me off air, and I go, I fathom that. I go, that's just a bad bet. Okay. And I like you, dude. I felt you could ask these guys. I kept bringing it up all week. Like, that's bad.
What's based on where you live? What is the worst case possible scenario weather wise? Snow,
South Dakota,
you know, the wind. I mean, what? Like snow drifts. I mean, what is the pain in the ass?
Really, really, really large windy blizzards at any point in time during the year, and that includes in May.
Do they shut down school and all that, or is it business as usual there?
I mean, only if it's really bad. If it's only like a few inches or 5 inches or something like that, then everything kind of carries on as normal.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how many inches do they need? Because when I lived in upstate New York, I never had a snow day. So as a little kid, I didn't know it existed. And I do remember one night, we got 18 inches of snow overnight. From the time I went to bed, maybe 9 or 10, until, say, 6 the next morning. Like, it had all come down in that time. Our driveway was already plowed. You went to school, all the roads are clean. Yep. The sides of the road, 6 feet high, snow drifts. But, I mean, if you live in, you know, Buffalo, Rochester, Detroit, any of these cold-ass places,
they're equipped. They're ready to go.
They will close for an ice storm, but I never was in Rochester when they had an ice storm. I know they've had ice storms since then, which is a little different. But and then when we moved to Baltimore, I went to one day school, and then the next day there were 3 inches of snow on the ground. And my mother says, oh, you're off today. I'm like, why? She said, a snow day. I'm like, what is a snow day? She goes, well, it snowed. And I looked outside and there was snow. Mm-hmm. She's like, well, it snowed, so they canceled school. And I still could not wrap my head around it. I'm like, it's like 3 inches of snow. And she goes, listen, we don't any longer live in a place that deals with this crap basically from September to May.
I grew up in the D.C. area. If you see
2 inches.
2 to 4 inches?
Done.
You're good to go. Yeah.
Dead.
3 to 5. I might have a couple days.
3 to 5, your parents are home with you.
Up on the pass in West Virginia, kind of near where Glenn Cannon's from, near Cumberland, there's a county called Preston County. They have a school bus that has the tracks on it, like a tank.
Yeah.
In the back.
Oh, nice.
And the two front tires are skis.
Yeah.
Because I mean, when you turn
you're
the steering
going
wheel,
to school.
They're skis. And they go, and they operate these things, and they don't, if they can pick up everybody, even if they come in 2 hours late.
It doesn't matter.
They go and they get every single person that they can, wrangle their asses up, and get them to school. And it's, I mean.
And your parents went to work. It's not like you just had to go to school. I mean, nothing changed in the city. The banks are open. Downtown is open. Every retailer's open. And it's not just the retail's open. There's people in there shopping.
Yeah.
It just, nothing slowed that place down.
Our question, how did the weather do you dirty? 206-803-ROCK.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.